You're listening to the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study God's Word. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Rich Rudowski. He's Director of International Programs at Lutheran Bible Translators. Good morning, Pastor Rudowski.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I am very well. And you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm looking forward to studying God's Word with you today. I always enjoy following you and others on Lutheran Bible Translators on Facebook and seeing where you are and the work that's going on. I know you are traveling a lot, so thanks for taking some time, setting aside some time to study God's Word with us in the Daily Lectionary today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, tell us about Lutheran Bible Translators and your work with LBT as well.
Sure. Lutheran Bible Translators is an organization dedicated to helping make the scriptures available in the mother tongue of people in their heart language. And we've been doing that for 50 years. As we've been doing this over the years with other Bible translation organizations, every time you get to work in different places, you discover there are more and more languages you didn't know about. So at the present, we know about 7,000 languages or so in the world, and of those 7,000 languages, about half of them really have very limited or no access to scripture in a language that folks really understand, that kind of goes to their heart. So we work with Bible societies and churches, Lutheran churches around the world to help make God's Word available to people in their heart language.
Now, how did you get involved with Lutheran Bible Translators?
Well, I was a seminary student, and LBT sent a recruiter to campus, and my wife actually, without my permission, made an appointment to see the recruiter. And so I just came home from class, and she said she'd gotten a babysitter, so I thought we were going on a date, but we actually went to see this recruiter, and with him, he had a new missionary as well, and we talked some, and It was a process, and that's kind of how it is for our missionaries. You know, the work that we ask folks to do, the training, the specialty of the task, and the context where you have to go, they're really big commitments. So for us, it was a dialogue with LBT for a good probably 4 or 5 years before we joined and got started. But we really just were captivated by the idea of this work and the need that was there for folks to have scripture in their heart language. Before we joined, I was a parish pastor, which I also loved and always kind of thought it was really a lot the same, that we had the opportunity to take God's Word and try to make it accessible to people in their heart language, a language they understood. We do that by proclamation from the pulpit as pastors here, but to have the opportunity to do that with folks that had no access to scripture at all was really powerful for my wife and I.
Very good. Let's take a look at the text today. And today we're going to study in English, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, but you know, if there are other languages and you want to explain those from time to time, you're certainly welcome to do that as well.
Okay.
What were some of the languages that that you worked with as you were translating, as you were working with Lutheran Bible Translators?
Okay. Yeah. We worked in a country called Botswana in Southern Africa, just north of South Africa, and we were in the Kalahari Desert. So I heard you gave the weather for the Kalahari today. So we worked in a language called Shakalahari, which had no written scripture or anything like that. But in doing that, we also worked in a majority language in the country called Setswana, which has three different translations. And so we learned Setswana and worked in that, and then you know, we use the Greek and Hebrew text and the English text. So that was, for us, the languages we worked in.
Well, very good. All right, let's take a look at John chapter 6 sure. today, verses 60 through 71. Pastor, before we dig into the text, anything you want us to know about this text or the context today?
Sure, yeah. The John 6 is a long chapter, and Jesus has been teaching. And there's apparently a really large crowd following him after the feeding of 5,000. And, you know, he walked on water, and then the next day the crowd that remains on the other side of the sea after he walked on the water is still there with him. So he has all this, that's kind of the context he's teaching in. And it's also I guess working with texts across culture, you try to really understand the cultural context as well. And the thing that's really, it's not described in the text because the readers would already be familiar with it, so the writer wouldn't necessarily take the time to describe it all, is that Jesus is seen as a rabbi or a teacher. And so that there's certain ways that things operate that way. People follow him because they want to hear what he has to say, and they believe that he will give them some key to how to be right with God somehow, how they can be righteous, or what's the best way to apply God's word. And usually rabbis do that by quoting all kinds of other rabbis. Jesus never quotes another rabbi. He just says, "I say to you." So that happens over and over again in John 6. "I say to you this and I say to you that." And right before we get to 60, which I guess would have been on your show yesterday, they talked about Jesus says that you have to drink my flesh or eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoever does this has eternal life. And so that's kind of set the crowd now to, like, they were with him for quite a ways, but as he's kept talking in John 6, it seems like he's getting more and more out there and extreme. But part of that context is the metaphor of flesh and blood is something that we have to look at, because we either think he's really off the deep end and he's really trying to be extreme to get people's attention, but there's evidence from other texts, Jewish texts and interpretations, that have this idea that this flesh and blood are ways that are metaphors of talking that rabbis use to talk about how to apply a text. So there's a writing from a Mishnah. The Mishnah are Jewish writings, and they're not authoritative, but they just help to give context in terms of how people were thinking. This one rabbi says, let me read it here. "Rabbi Tanukma said, in the name of Rabbi Nachman, ben Rabbi Shmuel, ben Nachman, and Rabbi Menachman said," according to another version of Rabbi Yerima, so they quote all these guys, "all references to eating and drinking in the book of Kohelet," so Ecclesiastes in this case, "signify Torah," that is God's wisdom, God's law, "and doing good," or good works. So the clearest proof for this is Ecclesiastes 8:15. "A man has no better thing under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry, and that this should accompany him in this word, or this, sorry, this should accompany him in his labor." What do they say? They say all the days of his life, and the food and drink that go with him to the grave, these things don't actually go with him to the grave. Therefore, food and drink must mean Torah and good works. Okay, so I don't know that that's not, being a translator, that's not really, we don't necessarily think that's a good hermeneutical process, you know, a good way of interpreting, but that is how people were interpreting the text. So Jesus, meeting people where they are, I think, he's talking about bread of life in this way that people are looking for, well, what's the way to apply the Torah, God's word? And he's going to say, well, I am that bread of life. And so if you think that eating that bread and is the good works that you're going to have to eat and drink are my flesh and my blood, because that's the only way you're going to be right with God. So anyways, I know it was quite a bit of context, but that's kind of what he's building up to as we get to this text, and people are now beginning to react to this thing. Is basically he's saying, he's making a very exclusive claim about who he is, and that the Father has sent him, and he is the way, his words are the way.
Well, very good. Very helpful. I appreciate the context as we prepare to dig in. All right. John chapter 6, verse 60 is where we're starting today. We're studying with Pastor Rich Rudowski, he's Director of International Programs for Lutheran Bible Translators. If you have a question or a comment today as we're studying, the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. John chapter 6, verse 60. "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." All right, so when many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Pastor, your thoughts here?
Yeah, well, it was, again, this idea that Jesus is saying, the words that I give you, in the end, it's my flesh and my blood. And I think he's opened up a category for them that doesn't make sense. Folks that are used to a combination of a sacrificial system in the temple and trying to then apply God's word and do as good as you can so that you don't have to make as many sacrifices, those being the way to God, and Jesus saying, "I'm replacing all of that with myself." People say this is a harsh and unpleasant saying. Looking in Greek, this is a harsh or unpleasant word, a hard saying. Who is able to hear it or listen to it? And there's this Greek word also has the connotation of really not just hear and listen, but put it into practice. In the Hebrew Greek word, there's not really much. It's assumed that if you hear and listen to it, you're also going to do it. So
Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life."
Yeah, so this is great. I was reading Luther preaches on John 6 in Luther's Works, the American Edition, Volume 23. For all the pastors out there, the next time the John 6 comes up in the lectionary, it just was last summer, so it's two summers from now. But if you get to that section and you're like me and you have to preach on that several weeks in a row and you think, how in the world am I going to do this? Luther's a great resource. But he says, you know, Jesus is like a preacher who has preached this sermon, and now everybody's reacting to it, and they say, "This is really strange, peculiar. This is Luther, what a strange, peculiar, and stupid sermon. Who can remain his disciple or adhere to him?" But there's a lot of great stuff in Luther there. Jesus, you know, I always wonder what it would be like to be a disciple of Jesus. So in John 6, we're a little early in the game, but he does this thing all the time where he knows what's going on and he calls you out on it before you say anything to him, which would be, I don't know. It seems like after a while you'd learn to either just be really transparent with him or you try to control your thoughts somehow. But so Jesus knows that they grumble about this. Grumble, gongudzusin, is the word in the Greek text, which is all over the place. It's what the children of Israel do in the desert when they have been with God and they don't know, they no longer trust that he's able to do what he's promised them to do. So these people are doing this thing. And he says to them, "Does this offend you or scandalize you?" So, you know, the ESV text says, "Does this, what does it say? Do you take offense at this?" Or does, I think a good translation also would be, does this offend you or are you scandalized by this thing? So, then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, this this idea that, you know, you really haven't seen anything yet, I'm going to go back to where I was before, where I came down from, and you'll see that everything I've claimed is true. Luther, when talking about this, sort of talks about how Jesus maybe is sort of just resigning himself to the fact that at this point, the people who are following him can't understand what he's saying. And so that's almost like a rhetorical comment. Like, again, you haven't seen anything yet, but also knowing that he's kind of reached the limit of what he can say at this point, that people just can't grasp it. Because as we know, since we know the rest of the story, nobody really grasped the scripture until the Holy Spirit unlocks it for them. And the Holy Spirit hasn't been given at this point yet. So, I don't know. So that's a possible good explanation for what Jesus is doing there. He's kind of saying, you haven't seen nothing yet. And also there's really not much more I can say about it. This is how it is.
Verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." So there are some who do not believe.
Yeah. Those all kinds of folks following him, and that's the thing at this point in Jesus' ministry, is he's just attracted a large crowd. And this is actually not unique when we you learn extra biblical history about folks. There was always a movement of folks kind of looking for what's the next best thing, or the Messiah movement, as we know that a lot of folks were looking for who this Messiah was going to be. They had a lot of different ideas of what he would do, most of the idea being that he would set them free from whoever was governing them at this point and reestablish a glorious kingdom like the time of David and Solomon. And so there's a lot of folks who he's attracted a lot of attention. There's been these reports of healing. You know, he just fed 5,000 men only, not even counting women and children, a day or two before where we're at now. And there's a lot of folks following to see what's going on. But as he talks more and more, there are some who don't believe. Maybe they didn't believe at all, but they wanted to come and check out what was going on. So the ones who don't believe are mentioned there. And then it does mention, it goes on, that Jesus knew from the beginning who those would be that wouldn't believe, and also who would betray him. And I find this really interesting that, again, Jesus, being truly man, fully man and fully God, has this knowledge, and yet he continues to act and interact with these folks. I, as a human being with our limited understanding, since our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts aren't his thoughts, I don't know how that could be. If you would know that these people I'm dealing with right now, they just don't believe me, they're never going to believe me, and this guy that I've brought into me really close is going to betray me, yet he still interacts with them and I don't know, acts like he doesn't know. I'm not sure. So, this idea that those who believe are with him, and those who don't believe are also there with him. He knows which ones are which. And I didn't touch on 63, if I can go back there a second.
Sure.
The Spirit is the one who gives life. That's what I mentioned, that it's the Holy Spirit who will give this life and this understanding of the Scripture. The flesh is not of help or benefit. That means that you know, Jesus is saying, you're trying to listen to me with the categories that you understand already, with the way that you think things are supposed to be. The Spirit hasn't opened or unlocked to you how it's going to be, but your flesh isn't going to help or be of use, not only for understanding what I'm saying, but also for being right with God. That's the other piece of it, is people are looking for, getting back to this idea of the Torah, the Word of God, being this bread that you eat symbolically, and Jesus saying, well, no, that's not going to be the case. So your flesh, your desire to do what's good is never going to be good enough for God. These words I'm speaking to you from 63 that I assert to you are the Spirit and the life. But there are some among you who don't believe. So he's speaking Spirit, speaking life, there are some who've just kind of set their heart that they think they already know how it's supposed to be. They're just looking for somebody who's going to fill in the role that they've already established that a Messiah should have, and Jesus isn't fitting into their box, and that's causing a lot of consternation for folks.
We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Rich Radowski, Director of International Programs at Lutheran Bible Translators. We're in John chapter 6 today, verses 60 through 71. If you have a question or a comment, the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at verses 66 and following. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org. Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying with Pastor Rich Rudowski. He's the Director of International Programs for Lutheran Bible Translators. And we're in John chapter 6 today, verses 60 through 71. Pastor, are we ready to take a look at this next section?
Sure.
All right, verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. I have trouble reading this without singing, "Lord, to whom shall we go?"
Yeah.
As we're reading it. So after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him.
Yeah, so this is good to point out. There's a distinction. Disciples, or mathetes in Greek, are anybody who's kind of following Jesus. That's how they're using it here. They're following him with the idea that they want to learn more from him. They want to be disciplined. That's where disciple in English has a sort of different word. They want to have the discipline to be like their master. And so this is different than the apostles or the 12. So as a kid, I can remember we always just called the disciples, you know, the 12 guys, Jesus' disciples. So then when I read this, I'm thinking, well, if many of them went, how many are left? But there's a whole different group. This disciples here is referring to this large group of more than 5,000 probably folks that are following here, and they go away. So many of his disciples went away and no longer walked with him. Peripateo is the Greek word there to walk. It also has this connotation of conducting your life, so it's used the same way. It's kind of it's a word that does both things. So we do this in English sometimes too. Maybe when speaking of spiritual things, people will talk about their walk of faith or something like that. Well, that's kind of where this idea comes from, is when they're with Jesus and they're walking with him, not just because they're physically moving around with him, but they're walking with him because they want to conduct their lives a certain way in light of whatever it is he's teaching or telling them. They want to make changes or be changed. At least they think they do. The ones who turn away likely had thought that there was going to be a certain way that it already was, and so they were walking with him because they were thinking they were going to walk to glory and victory and things that Jesus isn't walking towards. He's walking towards the cross and resurrection, and people aren't ready for that yet. So they left, they walked away and left him behind.
So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God."
Yeah, so here in the text now, it zeroes in on the 12. And I just think this is just a really piercing question. You're seeing all these folks go. So again, Luther, thinking of Jesus, the preacher, hasn't gotten a really great reaction to his sermon, and everybody's walking away. So he turns to his closest followers. And we know, of course, Jesus is fully God but fully man, capable of human emotion. So is he feeling hurt, taken aback, those kinds of emotions? I think it's possible. And, we know Jesus knows all things, but yet, you know, he's all powerful enough to give people, maybe to not know the answer to this before he asks, I don't know. But he says to them, do you want to go away as well? I think it's a genuine question, a really heartfelt question, that this has turned into a tough day to see that folks really aren't ready to hear the message that you have, that the people of Israel, who are God's chosen people, who are have been given the Torah, all the prophecy that points to a Savior, that they're not really ready to follow him. And so, you know, to his closest followers, when he zooms in with them, do you want to go as well? And then Peter with this, this is basically the version of Peter's confession in John, in the other Gospels as well. Peter is the one who always confesses that Jesus is the Christ. That's not what he says here, but he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And those words, I mean, for me, when I was a kid, my parents, when I was 9 years old, joined a Lutheran church and sent me to Lutheran school. And it was this old Lutheran church, that really big Gothic kind of style architecture, huge front doors, especially as a little kid. And on the huge front doors, the handles of the doors were carved, they're wood that were carved with these words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And as a kid growing up, I always remember that those words stuck with me. I actually didn't know they were from the Bible for a long time, but this is this really great confession. And so I want to look at it a little bit closer. Simon Peter says, Lord or Master, which would be a kurie, the Greek word there, Master, as a student or a follower would say to his rabbi, okay, to whom shall we go? Again, there's this following thing, not to whom shall we go, but who else are we going to follow? Okay, so in this rabbinic context, Jesus could essentially be understood as saying, do you want to go find someone else that has better teaching or a better insight into God than I do and go and follow them? And Peter's saying, well, who else would we go and follow? This proclamation, the proclamation that you give, the words that you give, they are life eternal, zoes aiono. They are the life that goes on forever, and you have them. You have the proclamation that leads to the life in the next age, life eternal. And 69 is where it goes on, but so maybe go ahead and read that.
We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.
All right, so this is the great confession. We have believed. It's a perfect, for Greek scholars, a perfect indicative active first person. We have believed. We have believed, and we continue to believe this. When you use the perfect tense in Greek, there's this finality, this thing that is very firmly established, that we have believed it, and we're going to continue to believe it with an enduring result into the future, and we have recognized or known, also imperfect, that's a perfect tense, I mean, that this thing has happened. We recognize it. We recognize it before. We're recognizing it now. We recognize it into the future. And there's an ongoing, enduring result that we believe and recognize that you are the Holy One of God. And this, you are the Hagios to Theo, is this, you know, you're approaching divinity, this Holy One of God. There's this kind of Jewish way of speaking in Greek. There's all kinds of linguistic issues happening here because we're having folks that kind of work and think, especially John, the author of the gospel, with a Hebrew, Jewish, Aramaic kind of mind using Greek language. But the Holy One of God is this, it's a very strong statement of that you are very close to God. You are possibly God. that sort of thing. I don't know if we could say that that's a confession by Peter at this point, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, like is recorded in other Gospels in a different story, but very, very close recognition that these words that you have, they're the things that have to eternal life. We have believed, we've recognized it, you're the Holy One of God. And again, since we know the rest of the story, the only way that these 12 can believe and recognize that Jesus is the Holy One of God is because the Father has allowed it, the Holy Spirit, which will be given later, completes that process, for them to be able to understand and recognize.
Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him.
Yeah. So Jesus' response here does puzzle me a little bit. So, you know, it could be that because Peter has said, speaking on behalf of the 12, we have believed and we have recognized, Jesus before this has said, nobody can do those things unless the Father allows it. Peter said, we have done these things. And Jesus then says, well, I chose you. I chose you for myself, the 12. That word for choosing has this middle, it's for Greek again, it's called an aorist indicative middle verb. That middle aspect of a verb means that he's done it for his own benefit or for himself or for their benefit as well. And he's chosen from among a lot of other folks. That's all encapsulated in that verb. So out of a lot of other folks, I chose for myself, you 12. That's why you're able to believe. That's why you're able to recognize who I am. Yet, among you, one of you is a devil, the diabolos there. I should have taken a little more time to see what's up with that word. That's an interesting choice of words. We call Satan the devil, but I'm not sure that's what Jesus has in mind as he uses this term. But it is a strong term, certainly. One of you is a devil. You got to know if Judas maybe doesn't even know he's going to betray yet, but he's kind of had these doubts or thoughts. You got to wonder if he's either his ears are pricking up and wondering, is he talking about me? Or maybe he's clueless at this point, or maybe his heart's already hardening anyway. So he's like, well, this guy's crazy because he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. So, he's maybe not even listening. But one of you is a devil. And he was saying this about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Let me correct what I said here. Because it says he was about to betray him. In the English text, it says was going to betray him. But the Greek, we could refine a little bit. This word emelin means he was beginning to, or he is an imperfect tense. So he was beginning to be on the point of wanting to betray him would be a kind of wordy English way of saying it. But so Judas' heart is maybe starting to turn at this point. This is the point where things start to go that direction for Judas, I think is what our text is trying to say us here or tell us here. So he's at the point of beginning to think, maybe I should do something about this or turn this guy in because he's not who he says he is. One of the 12.
And then here ends our text.
It does, yeah. So then, we were talking about, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, which is sung in our liturgies. And gospel text will begin with this is the gospel, or end with this is the gospel of the Lord, and people respond, praise to you, O Christ. But so many gospel texts with Jesus challenging us or saying things that are just so far, even for us, kind of outside our box where we're trying to figure out what he's talking about, but we still respond with praise to you, O Christ. Because in the end, we are worshiping Christ, and his gospel is the word of eternal life, even if we can't understand it all right now. Even if we don't get it, we don't have to understand it to still be able to praise Christ when we hear his words spoken, when they're read in our churches in the gospel.
Looking over the text as a whole, anything else, Pastor, you want us to learn today?
Well, I think that the question of do you want to leave? Do you also want to leave? That question just really sticks with me. The context he was asking in this text is folks have heard a really hard teaching. They thought it was going to be one way. They don't understand for sure what Jesus is saying, and they're not sure they want to follow, so they leave. For us today, I think that we also experience now, as people following Christ, we experience different things in our lives that that are hard, that are hard to deal with, and there's no getting around it. There's no excusing God, and I mean, there is words of comfort to be drawn, saying that God's will is perfect and God is at work, but there's still a pain and a suffering that we can feel and an angst that we can feel, and sometimes I think in those situations we do well to remember this text and hear Jesus saying to us, do you want to leave as well? You know, the world is turning away from Christ, saying that Christianity is not all it's cracked up to be, or for whatever reason, do you also want to leave? And this great proclamation of faith, Lord, well, where would we go? Because you're the one that has the words of eternal life. So when we're struggling, depressed, have illness, struggling with marriage, finances, whatever it may be, not that, you know, we find every single answer to all that spelled out, but when we want to find those situations where we feel like, you know, God could do better than this, or, you know, where things are painful and the response of our flesh is to want to turn away from God, to recall these words of Scripture, Lord, where would we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Rich Rudowski, Director of International Programs, Lutheran Bible Translators. Pastor Rudowski, thanks for being our guest and helping us study in John chapter 6 today.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
Same here. I enjoyed it. God bless you and those you serve with Lutheran Bible Translators in Concordia, Missouri, and around the world. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.